This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing of Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. They're at the Chili Dome. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobinada, and good morning. Welcome to Sports Saturday as we come to you from the one, the only Chili Dome. That means we're in Irish Days in Farmersville at Irish Days. And beautiful day. Beautiful morning, Tim Mize.
A little cooler than it was the last couple of years here in the Chili Dome.
A lot cooler.
Yes. Quite pleasant.
Yes, it is. Good morning, Uncle Ralph.
Morning. Last year when he was here, I don't think they even had to light up the heat under the chili. It was plenty warm.
I think you're right.
I think it was about 100 degrees when we were here a year ago.
The official spokesperson for Irish Days, and in particular the chili cook-off, is Sean Webb. You should be in a necktie and everything. You know, you're the official guy, Sean.
Well, it's radio. I am in a necktie, of course.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
I like this guy. So sign-up continues here for...
Sign-up continues all morning until 10 o'clock. We'd love to have anyone, everyone out. As you guys know, this is by all means a family event. We've got grandmas and grandpas and grandsons and daughters. And we've got a lot of family teams cooking. We've got some folks that come out just to see if they can have a few bragging rights. But overall, yes. Anyone more than welcome. Come out until 10 o'clock. Sign up. Cook some chili. Have some fun with us out here. And, yes, the weather is great today.
It is great today. And, you know, you look back and it's been 27 or 8 years?
27th year this year. That's right.
And when you look back and you started this thing, you're going, would this thing last this long?
When Dave Heaton and Jim Whalen started this thing, it was at the official start, I think, was the Ethnic Festival in Wagner.
Right, right.
And that was kind of the preliminary year. No, I don't think anyone thought it would make it this long. You know, and we're so fortunate. We get such great support here in Farmersville for all the events and all the activities. And, this Irish Day Cook-Off is definitely an example of that. So,
Sean, you're just one of many people, and we're going to ask you to mention a few others who help you, in particular with the chili cook-off. But it takes a community to put this whole thing on, doesn't it?
I can't express it enough, and I always get up and say these things, throughout the cook-off and at various times around. The amount of people that it takes to put on something like this is just indescribable. Dave Leonard is our chairman here for Irish Days, has been for, I'm going to say, as long as I've been around. So I don't, I'd say how many years, but he'd probably get mad at me. It's not fair to just mention one. There are so many for all the different food tents, the different events, the parades, the chili cook-offs, the queen pageants. It takes so many people, but they all love to do it, and that's why it's a success.
And I think the venue is so neat because you have the park here on the city square. You can put everything around the square. Of course, they had the race this morning. Just a whole lot of different things going on in and around the community of Farmersville. And, you know, these little communities where we're struggling, we all do, but Farmersville's alive and well.
Always is. The support, like I said, for the different events is just overwhelming. The people are here early in the morning to make sure that the folks that come in from out of town have a good time, have everything they need, get to enjoy the midway and come out and see the classic tractor show, for example. It's important to them. They take a lot of pride in their small town.
Yes. Small towns is very cohesive. You go from one to the other, and when you have an event like this, everybody, as you said, pitches in and makes it a success. And that's what it takes. You got to do it.
I agree.
Now we need to get to the real pressing matter. It says Web Chili on your shirt. Now, we don't want you to give away any trade secrets or any family secrets everywhere, but in your professional opinion, what are the few things that a good chili just has to have? Like, if it doesn't have these certain ingredients, don't even bring it to my station for testing.
I would say the most important thing to have at your chili table is probably a cup holder full of something. As I look around, I see no people that are parked. No, you know, chili is one of those things. It's there's got to be 100 ways to make it. We'll see 40 examples of it today. They're all good. They're all unique. Trying to define what one good chili is exactly what we do here. And from a guy that's cooked in it for a number of years and been on the side to see the judging and taste these, there is no consistency when it comes to the winner. I wouldn't tell you that spicy wins or sweet wins or chunky or thin. It really varies.
And since this is the final day of Irish Days, really, this particular event is a great way to start things. Even though there was a race this morning to support the breast cancer awareness group, this kind of, you know, opens the door and says, okay, we're ready for business here, kids.
It does. And, you know, we go from 10 until the parade starts, basically, and it's a place for people to come up and congregate, and we got a lot of families that are going to come through, and you'll see them stop and visit and sit at the picnic tables and have something cold to drink and relax, and it's just kind of a middle point before the parade, and of course that kind of wraps things up for the daily activities, but you know, even more so, coming through and just being able to relax and hang out on a nice Saturday, that's kind of what it's supposed to be about.
Plus, we get the honor of broadcasting in the only known chili dome in existence.
Well, you guys definitely get the red carpet around here.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'll tell you.
Well, with our perch here, it's almost like we're watching the Food Network with all these people out there preparing everything.
To answer your earlier question about what constitutes good chili, Tim, I think the answer is, you take a plastic spoon, and when your chili is about ready, you dip it in there, and when you bring it out, it's just the part you got in your hand that's left. That's chili.
That's chili.
We get a few of those.
Yeah.
Definitely do.
But you have to bring your own Rolaids, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. If you guys would like, you can stay and be judges. And I will tell you that it sounds like a really, really fun activity until you get 40 different bowls of chili in you.
Well, like with wine tasting, I think you actually spit out the wine.
Not
chili,
with chili.
Though, you're eating.
Yeah.
You're eating it all.
Yeah.
If I wine test, I don't spit it out. I'm not a spitter, Tim.
And on that note, we probably need to take a break. Sean Webb, thanks for joining us. Sports Saturdays to you from the Chili Dome at Irish Days. And if our license isn't revoked, we'll be back with more right after these messages.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurtz has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And of course, heavy and light duty towing. Kurtz crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurtz 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurtz 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Bozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Cloudy skies for today. There is a slight chance for some rain. Expect a high in the around 85 degrees. Cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. There is a chance for some rain, 60% chance of rain to be exact. We'll have a low of around 70 degrees. And for tomorrow, showers likely. Expect a high Sunday of around 80 degrees. At 9:13, we have a temperature reading of 73 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
If you have leaky, wet, and musty basements and crawl spaces, Midwest Basement Tech has a permanent guaranteed solution. There's only one place to call. Midwest Basement Tech, 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Don't make a mistake with your home's foundation repairs. Call now, 1-800-848-9805, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:15, back to Farmersville we go. Once again, here's Tim Bice, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobin Ott. Tobin producing our broadcast today from our WSMI studios. Sean Webb wanted us to remind you that for the chili cook-off, the entry, the money that's made from the chili cook-off goes to the Panhandle School District Special Education Program. So, yeah, the money raised here does go to a very special group of people, and you know, these programs struggle every year to keep their doors open, so it's a wonderful thing.
And it may be the thing that gets talked about the least, but it's really the most important. Whatever the local festival is during the summertime, all the money raised usually stays completely local, and maybe sometimes that doesn't get talked about enough, but when all the funds are staying to help the local community, I mean, you don't get any better than that.
Joining us now, Matt Milberg, the coach of the Lincolnwood Lancer basketball team. And Matt, you're in the midst of I guess the summer program, we could call it, and you've had a few ball games, and even though it's only June, you're probably looking forward to basketball season.
Yeah, good morning to you guys, and glad to be here and talk with you today. And we're about halfway through the season right now. We got about 2 weeks left. We'll be done by June 28th or so, and pleased with the turnout and the kids geared up for another season.
Summer basketball has always been such an important aspect to any high school program or college program. I mean, it's such a critical time for a basketball player or any sport. How do you divide up the time, I guess, because in a small school you've got kids who play multiple sports, so how does that time get divided?
Yeah, and over the years it's changed so much. You know, from when we played, we went for a week at a time at one place and played seven games a night, to spreading it over a whole month maybe. You know, IHSA has changed that to help us with that. And, you know, we communicate with the other coaches and talk with them. And, you know, anytime a kid can't come, you know, shoot me a text message or a call and let me know. And, you know, the kids that, you know, the old adage is that, you know, basketball players are made in the summertime and teams are brought together in the wintertime. And that's what we look to do in the summertime.
Matt, is this current method where you have 25 contact, is that a better method than what it used to be when you were in school?
Well, I don't know. I had never coached back then, but I mean,
you were a player, though. I mean, you went through that sort of thing.
And I remember being, you know, just absolutely gassed at the end of the day, you know, and to spread it out a little bit, to have just one game a night, you know, whether it be in Riverton or have two games on a Monday in Litchfield League. Drew Logan's putting on a great summer league there to help us, you know, play close to home, mm-hmm. you know, and it's been really good.
As you get a chance to participate, you get a chance to see a lot of different teams that you know normally don't run into, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, we've played some teams that I've never really have heard of. We're getting ready to go down to Greenville next week, and some Rock Island team's going to be there. Prophetstown, which I know is up north, they're going to be there. And I know only because I know they're home with the White Squirrel,
yes.
I guess.
East Richland High School, yes. Yeah.
Huntsonville, some teams I've never even heard of, and we're excited to play them. It's something that, you know, when we play at Litchfield, we play Gillespie, Carlinville. We've played these teams that we might see in the Carlinville tournament, and, you know, they know what we run, and they know, you know, what to do, and it's nice that we're going to play some teams that we haven't seen before.
Man, I don't know what your expectations were going into last season. I'm not even sure what the expectations were amongst the Lincolnwood fans, but it seemed to me the few times that I saw your club play, you guys competed really hard, whether it was at the championship game of the holiday tournament where you guys were down, you couldn't give it up, but you just fought back. It just seems like you guys never gave up throughout the season.
You know, that was a big adage for us, and the number one thing was just to compete. And day in, day night, you know, day in and day night, out, you know, you look to see if kids are going to, you know, believe in themselves and prove that they can do it. And that Litchfield game at the Carnival tournament, that was something I couldn't believe as I look back, that how much we were down and then came back and ended up losing by 1 point. But, you know, our expectations last year, you know, we had a mindset, a goal. We had many goals. And to achieve those goals, I was happy. One of the goals was to get to the regional championship game and go from there. We didn't have expectations to go to super sectionals. We didn't have expectations to win state. We just wanted to get to the regional championship, which happened to be at home, and see what would happen, you know, see if we could get there and see if we could win it.
Matt, the thing that impressed me about the team last year was they really took on your mindset, because I saw an awful lot of you in that team last year.
Yeah, and I don't want to try to push that too much.
But
you
it's
know.
True, because teams do take on the personality and mindset of their coaches a lot of times, and that's really what I saw an awful lot of you in that team last year.
And you try to instill that into some of the kids, but, you know, I have three great assistant coaches.
Yeah.
And you know, the two Lincolnwood guys were better scorers than I was when I was in school, but I was, you know, probably better defensively. But, you know, and you try to instill all the aspects of the coaching and all the things, and we try to do a really good job with that. And, you know, I got all four of us are going to be back next year, and they've agreed to come on, and we're going to try to get them again next year.
So as the summer's gone along since the season's ended, is that regional championship game, do you talk about that to your kids? Do you try to use it as motivation, or you just say, we did what we did last year, let's get better this year and move forward?
Well, what we talked about is we got almost second in everything. We got second in Carlinville, we got second in Morrisonville, we got second in the regional. And, you know, all the hard work that they put in last year was only second place work. You know, we have to get up one more notch, try to get to that first place, you know, upper echelon. You know, I'm not going to try to remember what happened over in New Berlin where we went 1-4, but, you know, that was still growing pains there and adjusting to new things. I remember you asking me at the championship game, Tim, about, you know, how do you stick to your game plan after going 0-4? You know, are you second-guessing yourself? But, you know, we stuck to it, and it turned out to be all right.
Well, and we forget about the educational aspect of it. You know, you're in there to teach and instruct, and the first time I saw the Pythagorean theorem, I didn't get it. But after working it a few times, maybe you catch on. And basketball's
right.
The same way.
Yeah, and, you know, the conference is going to be tough again next year. We had a lot of juniors on the all-conference team and a couple sophomores. And, you know, we got second place in the conference last year, too. So, like, you know, I just keep instilling that, you know, that second place work as much as we worked hard. And, you know, it's hard on me, too, because it's just – you think that you put in a lot of time, and you got to take it to the next level, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Talking about the tough teams you play during the summer, the step up of competition, mm-hmm. as you look at your regular season schedule moving forward, because schedules are usually set, you know, several mm-hmm. years in advance, say 3, 4, 5 years from now, do you see a situation where maybe you want to play a little different type of non-conference schedule?
I mean, with the tournaments that we have, it's unreal. I mean, the teams that we play over the New Berlin tournament, we run into West Central, you know, and those big schools over there, and we enjoy playing over there. It's a nice Thanksgiving deal, and, you know, in Carlinville, too, it's been real good playing upper, you know, you're playing 2A schools over there. I think Mount Olive 1A and Bunker Hill's 1A, and we're 1A, but, you know, you're playing Gillespie and Litchfield and them guys, so... I don't think there's going to be much change in the schedule. The MSM conference has said, I think Pawnee's going to be back in the conference next year, so they're going to be back, you know, so it's going to be probably the same.
That trying to keep track of the conference thing is makes you scratch your head, and you know, Josh Stone, the athletic director, is here, and we're going to talk to Josh in a moment. You know, he's got to be pulling his hair out sometimes.
Well, it's hard for me teaching in Pawnee. They're moving from Sangamo to MSM to then the Prairie State football, and it's crazy up there. So I'm trying to stay in the loop up there myself with them. But
and Matt, you had one senior on your team, so that bodes well for this year. Just from the standpoint of experience.
Yeah, I talked to, you know, Kyle Hirschman contacted me about Noah the other day, and it's going to be tough to lose his commitment to the game. He was always the first one there. He loved the game. He loved being, you know, in competition. You know, we butted heads sometimes, but that's just the way it's going to be. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the memories I had with him is going to be, you know, a lot more grateful than I would ever imagine. And, you know, we're trying to find a fill, and we got to fill, you know, 15 points, 10 boards, and 8 assists a night, and that's, you know, that's going to be hard to do. But, you know, some of the younger kids this summer have stepped up and trying to do their part to help relieve some of that pressure, and they've done a good job, so I'm happy to have them there.
I think sometimes maybe people get too caught up in, does the player like the coach? Does coach like the player? Like's really not the right word. It's a level of respect that has to be. I mean, you're not there to be their friend. You're not supposed to be their best buddy. You're their coach.
Right, right. And you see that in education, too, you know, whenever you're teaching and stuff. So it's just, you know, as you get older, you get more experience. You learn from your mistakes. And just like I remember Carol Hoofendick had, you know, my chemistry teacher at Raymond, you know, Lincolnwood, they said, you know, everybody makes mistakes. That's how we learn. And, you know, I don't mind the kids making mistakes on the floor, but as long as we learn from them, you know, whether it come off the floor and we teach right there or on the court teaching, you know, hey, you know, don't let that happen. You know, again, it's important.
Probably the one aspect of the team last year that was so vastly improved was the defensive effort.
Yeah, you look to increase defense because you can see through from high school all the way to the pros. Look at the San Antonio Spurs playing right now. I mean, they do great things even in professional levels. And, you know, defense in the college level, too, is increased, too. And it's one thing that we talk about, you know, offensively is try to take care of the basketball so we don't have to play defense because we are in possession of the ball. But when we do play defense, it's got to be, you know, the best that we can do. And that the time I saw that was at the Pawnee game in the regional where we had 2 1-minute defensive stands against them to hold them to 4 shots from the 3-point line. And they come back to the bench and said, that's why we do all those defensive plays and, you know, in practice. And I said, yep, that's why.
The light bulb clicked on, didn't it? Yeah, that's great.
You know, that's what won the game that night. So we were happy to see that.
And it sure looks like you're having a lot of fun when you're out there coaching, Matt.
Yeah, we have a good time at practice. You know, the biggest thing with me is this: when it's time to have fun, we'll have fun. And when it's time to get to work, let's get to work. And, you know, we're doing that. We're finding that during the summertime. And, you know, right now I got 2 workers over there trying to sell MTXE tickets. So they're on the stage right now getting ready to work.
All right, let's plug the MTXE. Play days coming up in August 24th, I believe, this year, isn't it? Somewhere like that.
So
okay.
Put me on the spot.
I don't have my notes in front of me, but they're selling tickets for MTXE, and who you got over there,
Nick Brockmeyer and Tate Snyder, I think
Snyder,
over there.
Okay.
But you know, I tell you what, that's such a great aspect for us. When I got hired here, they said you're in charge of 2 accounts. Said 2 accounts are like, yeah, you got an MTXE account and you have your own basketball account. And I looked in that MTXE account and I said, whoa, there's something in there that we can use. And it's been really good to help all the committee members and talk with them. And it's been a good time.
And you know Matt's coaching power. He got 2 high school kids that arrived here at 8:45.
That's right.
Yeah. They were here at 8:44.
That's right.
That's right. That was close. You know, 10 minutes early is right on time. But.
And all those little fundraisers and stuff like that, you know, are so important to the small communities because you got to have them.
Yeah,
you got to
have
them if you're going to function on a higher level.
Yeah, it's nice to share the money all throughout the school, though, through all the programs and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, my assistant coach now is a head soccer coach here at Lincolnwood.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're trying to work together and go for one great cause, and that's for the kids.
And Joe's kind of the quiet guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of the in-your-face guy, and Joe's kind of the other guy. And
mix and match relationships.
What a great mix.
Yeah. So it's nice to work with all 3 of them guys again next year.
Matt Milberg, the head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers basketball team, joining us here on Sports Saturday. Matt, continued success. It's always a pleasure to see you, my friend, and keep up the good work.
All right, thanks for the invite, and good luck to you guys.
Okay.
Basketball season will be here before you know it.
Oh, I know, right around the corner.
See if we can get Josh over here. Hey, Josh, come on up here, buddy. Hey, this is
Live radio.
We get to do all sorts of fun things here. We're broadcasting from Irish Days in Farmersville, and they have the chili cook-off will officially get underway here about 10 o'clock this morning. The Antique Tractor Show at 11, the Adult Pedal Tractor Show at 11:30. The big parade is set for 4 o'clock this afternoon, and of course later on this evening they'll have the Queens and all that other sort of entertainment. And there's Josh Stone. Good morning, young man.
Good morning.
The head baseball coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers and the athletic director, and the season ended too soon.
Much too soon. But I'm just glad we got as many games in with this year as we did.
You know, in the season you did, you and Morrisonville, Lincolnwood and Morrisonville probably got more games in than anybody.
Probably in the area, most likely.
Yeah, you guys have a good crew that to help back you up. Josh, as you catch a break here in the summer, you really don't get to catch a break as an athletic director, do you?
No.
What are some of your duties you're involved in even now?
It's more like what I'm not into right now. Every sport's going on right now. They've got summer schedules going on, just making sure everyone's staying within their limits and keeping track of everybody, getting the MTXE tickets out and sold and collecting them. And it's a 12-month job.
Talk a little bit about that staying in the limits. The IHSA has guidelines where there's only so many contact dates, only so much you can do, and I guess it's different for every sport.
It's different for every sport, and every coach has got to stay on top of it. I mean, I can't follow them around all summer, but make sure they stay within their limits and they don't go over them, because we don't want to have those penalties put on our school.
And the big thing about it, when you talk about the powers above, they're always watching.
Someone's watching somewhere.
They got a spy somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And Josh, there are some specific challenges of just being at a small school, because most of the athletes compete in multiple sports. So it's tough to, keep everybody going, keep everybody interested in every sort of sport that's out there.
Absolutely. At a small school like we have, you hope all your good athletes play 3 sports.
Yeah.
And keeping them involved in the summer and all the sports they're going to play and keeping them just interested in playing, it can get worn out and burn out very quickly. And I've not seen that in 6 years I've been there, so I'm pretty happy about that.
And a key word you just said is burnout, and that's very easy to happen to a young man or a young lady. They just play and they play and they play, and all of a sudden they're just exhausted from it.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that from a lot of the kids, so I'm really happy that our kids just want to keep competing with ours.
And an interesting thing about Lincolnwood is the fact that they do have some junior high programs, which is a great feeder program for the high school. A lot of districts don't have that.
No, like when we play junior high baseball, we play maybe 4 schools our size. Our junior high baseball schedule is full of Rochesters and Greenville and just big schools everywhere. So I mean, we take our lumps in junior high, but we also compete towards the end of the year and get better and better. But we're fortunate just to have the junior high programs across the board.
And when you play Greenville in baseball, you run up against pretty good competition, because they got quite a program down there.
They have a tremendous program in Greenville.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Hutch does a pretty nice job there, doesn't he?
Oh, he does a fantastic job down there. Has for years.
Yeah.
I grew up around that area. They've always been very good.
So, Josh, as you get ready to, and who's in charge, who's coaching the junior high team? Are you taking care of that this
Chris
year?
No, Chris Paprov is still the coach.
Okay. So, Chris, what has he got coming up in junior high this year? He's got some talent?
We should have a good team. I mean, we lost a good group last year to be freshmen this year, but we should be good. I mean, I always think we're going to be good.
Yeah.
You never know what the season's going to turn out. Maybe you have 4 games of the rain like we had in summer ball or spring ball this year. Who knows?
And when you're in a small community such as Lincolnwood, you always have to think about the old bugaboo of injuries, because your number of players is limited, and you lose a key player or two, you can have some problems.
Yeah, well, small school, you don't usually have the supporting cast on the sideline. But, yeah, we've avoided the injury bug the last few years, too.
And, of course, Coach Neisler taking care of the softball.
Absolutely.
And he does a great job.
Oh, he does a fantastic job. So we have really good coaches across the board in almost every sport we have. So a small school, I've said it many times, people who will listen, you can't beat the coaching Lincolnwood has. I mean,
And the support of the community.
Absolutely, support of the community. I mean, I got hired at Lincolnwood. They said when basketball starts, the town shuts down. And I said, okay, sure. And
actually, it's 4 towns that shut down.
Exactly. And I said, you know, first game comes up and I went around town, like, there's nobody in town. They're all at the basketball game. So that is the way it is at Lincolnwood.
Yeah. And that's the way you like to see it.
Absolutely.
And you see that in many small towns. Of example, one of your opponents, Nokomis, they back their teams over there tremendously. And that's great to see.
Yeah, it is great to see.
Well, Josh, thanks for coming by. We appreciate you stopping in and sharing some information with us here on Sports Saturday. And you do a great job. Keep up the good work, and we look forward to seeing you down the line.
Well, thank you very much.
Josh Stone, the AD at Lincolnwood High School. We need to take a break. We're broadcasting from Irish Days in Farmersville, and our broadcast continues right after these messages.
June is National Dairy Month, a perfect time to enjoy the benefits of milk and milk products. Check out the selection of farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products in your grocer's dairy case. High-quality milk, butter, half and half, cottage cheese, and yogurt. Milk and other dairy products provide about 75% of needed calcium, along with protein, vitamins, and other minerals. And if you're dieting, many of Prairie Farms products are also available in low-fat and non-fat varieties. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Hey, let's head to the Burlington, to the county fair. You sure got a lot of things going on there. See all the entertainment and get some great food. Sangamon County Fair is for you.
Get ready for the Sangamon County Fair, June 19th through the 23rd in New Berlin. Fair admission includes unlimited carnival rides and all grandstand shows. And this year's grandstand lineup is bigger than ever. It all kicks off Wednesday, June 19th with the FMX Freestyle Motocross Show. Thursday, June 20th, CMA Award winners Little Big Town with special guest Sarah Hayes. Friday, June 21st, Trace Adkins with Macoubin County's very own Gracia Harrison. Saturday, June 20th. 22nd, Jake Owen with Colt Ford. And things wrap up Sunday, June 23rd with the Demolition Derby. Check out our new website at sangcofair.com and visit us on Facebook and Twitter for fair updates. It's the Sangamon County Fair, June 19th through the 23rd in New Berlin. Brought to you by Pennell Forklift, the Schooler Company, and Gray Lumber.
And at 9:35, let's take you back out to Farmersville. Once again, here's Terry Tote, Tim Mize, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobin Ott, and we are sitting in the Chili Dome here at the Irish Day Celebration. The Chili Cook-Off will start officially at 10 this morning. They don't turn anybody away, so if you show up at 5 after 10, they'll be glad to take your money and give you a spot out there. And all the money raised goes to the Panhandle School District Special Education Programs, so it's obviously a worthy cause.
And a breeze has just kicked up through the Chili Dome, so who knows, maybe some onions and peppers flying about here now.
Yeah, you're
flying vegetable, oh, for God's sake.
Your eyes will start burning pretty soon, right, Tim, from the onions.
Travis Matthews has joined us this morning. Travis, good to see you. Travis is involved with the FC club soccer program, FC South Central, which incorporates a lot of kids from a lot of area schools, including the Lincolnwood Nokomis Co-op, and of course Carlinville, Litchfield, probably Gillespie. I can't remember them all, but Travis, you continue to have success. And the thing that gets me is I know you go into these towns and these larger cities and get into these tournaments, and these farm boys come out and win.
Yeah, we always say, I always am having to explain where we're from. We, you know, is it, oh, Springfield? No, not Springfield. Actually, St. Louis? No, not St. Louis. Kind of in between the two.
Yeah.
What town would that be? You know?
How many years has this club soccer been together?
We just finished our third season.
Okay, so, third season.
Yeah. Yep.
And another successful season for you.
Yeah, this group, probably the thing we're most proud of is we were sending 7 of the kids that finished playing for us now to college to play soccer. So, which is not something that's happened quite a bit around here before. So we're happy to have a part in that.
Now, the group of kids you're talking about, U18, mm-hmm. Is there more than just a U18?
Yes. And in fact, this year we added our fourth team. So this year we played with 2 separate U18 teams. So we had enough high school boys in the area to field 2 teams. We had a U14 boys team, and then we added our first team on the girls' side this year as a U14 girls' team.
And things went well with that?
Yeah, they did. When you add a team for the first time, we've kind of got a formula at this point. We know when things are going to start to click. We've been through it.
Yeah.
It usually takes 9 or 10 games into the season before it really hits them, the speed of play and everything that they have to do better as opposed to their local rec league. So.
And that's probably the biggest thing, the speed and maybe the physicality of the game.
Absolutely. That was last year with our U14 boys and this year with our U14 girls. The first couple games, they come off the field and they'll say, "Coach, they bumped into me. Coach, they..."
Yeah, this is soccer.
Get used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, get used to it. And you know what's interesting, you take soccer, you take basketball, football, whatever, and each time as you go from football to soccer or you go from football to basketball, it's a whole different set of muscles that you have to retrain for that individual sport.
That's exactly right. With soccer, we focus so much on the core, and you know, and the abs and the legs and everything. But yeah, you're right. It is different. We've found that our kids that play basketball, not necessarily the muscles that you work, but the mind, the brain for basketball and soccer is a lot of the same.
Quick.
Yeah. How fast can you make a good decision when you either have the ball in your hands or the ball at your feet?
And Aiden Gonaldson has said for years, soccer is just basketball without your hands.
Yeah, it really is.
And it really is.
Yep.
I mean, the decisions you make, the type of plays you run, the situations you want to get yourself in as far as getting a good look, that's all the same as basketball.
For our kids that are new to the game, maybe in our younger levels, we use basketball as an example all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe they've played Pee Wee basketball and they've been taught how to defend. And we use the same set of principles a lot of times for soccer. So
Travis, when is the season run, and how does somebody end up getting a tryout for the ball club?
Well, for our high school boys teams, we have tryouts immediately after the fall high school boys season ends. So we have our tryouts usually just the weekend after. And those are always advertised in the paper. We do have a website and a Facebook page, and we do a pretty good job of contacting the local high school coaches,
right,
and getting that information out to them. And so that's how the high school boys go. And then typically for our U14 boys and U14 girls, the tryouts are right around that time as well. We don't, a lot of clubs, in fact all the clubs except for us, play in the fall and in the spring at the younger age levels. We've never played in the fall as of yet, because a lot of those kids are playing with their local rec league teams, and that's a sensitive situation. We don't want to end rec league soccer because club's not for everybody.
Right.
So we just play in the spring. They play with their rec leagues in the fall, and then they play with us in the spring. So,
and the benefits of getting on to a team like FC South Central is the fact you're going to see better level of competition, a quicker ball game. Plus, the players that compete can go back to their high school teams and actually become leaders.
It is. It's been. I love in the fall to go and just watch a lot of the area high school soccer games, because. And not to,
you see these kids.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and not to pat ourselves on the back or anything, but we've had parents and referees and stuff say, "I bet that kid's plays for you."
Yeah,
and you can just you can tell the difference. It's the buzzword right now in soccer is speed of play, and that is the biggest difference from those kids playing club and then going back to their high school teams. Everything just moves faster for them in their brain and with their bodies. So.
And that makes you feel better.
It does. It's fun to watch.
Say, hey,
yeah,
I bet he played for you.
Yeah. Yep.
But speed of play, and then two things concerning soccer. Number one, not being afraid of having the ball in traffic, and number two, as a defender, making the wise choice on when to attack and when to sit back.
Yeah,
those are the two biggest, toughest things to learn.
And yeah, we like to talk about being able to play with your head up.
Mm-hmm.
So being confident enough with the ball at your feet that you don't have to stare down at it the entire time. And you can have your head up and scan the field and see what's going on and make a good decision.
And just like in basketball, with your head up, if you see that person off to your right side, you can make that no-look pass, drive right down the lane. Soccer's the same way. You get to get a man open on the wing, feed that ball to him, and then as you feed, you charge, you crash the net, so to speak, like they do in basketball, and you may get a rebound, or you may be able to watch the goal go in.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Is there a surge in interest as the World Cup comes around?
I tell you what, I was just talking about this morning with a buddy. I was texting back and forth. The Confederations Cup is getting ready to start up, which is kind of the dress rehearsal for the World Cup, and the game I graduated high school in 99, and my high school soccer team, I bet everybody on our team, not one of us could name even one player on the United States World Cup team. And now every single player that I coach, even at the U14 level, has a favorite English Premier League team.
Yeah.
And they know all the world's best players. They try to do their moves at practice. That wasn't there in the 90s. And really, cable and the internet has been the biggest part. And the kids get to watch EPL games on Saturday mornings now.
Right.
So, that has definitely just advances in technology and being able to see things from Europe and everything has made soccer in the area better. I mean, we talk, the more you watch, even just sitting down and watching, even playing FIFA, the video game, you're understanding things and you're seeing things. So, yeah, it definitely gets more popular as the World Cup comes around and as the United States is relevant and playing well.
Yeah.
So.
And that's really the key. The U.S. needs to be relevant.
Yep.
If it wants to make a stand in this country, and it'll never be an NFL and
right.
Major League Baseball, but it doesn't have to be.
No, Major League Soccer just announced its 21st team. It's been around for 15 years, which is probably 15 years longer than I think a lot of people expected it to be. So I think they've firmly entrenched themselves as like an NHL.
Mm-hmm.
They're a niche sport. They do 15,000 people at a game. They know what they are, and they're not trying to be the NFL. So.
And I would love to see St. Louis get an MLS team. I've had the pleasure of going to Toyota Park in Bridgeview to see the Fire play a couple times, and what an atmosphere. I mean, this is the furthest thing removed from any sport any type of crowd, you know, at football, basketball, baseball, it's a soccer crowd, and they just celebrate the game differently.
Yeah, I took our coaching staff. We've added a couple coaches over the years. So there's five or six of us now down to Busch Stadium to watch Chelsea and Manchester City. 48,000 people there in St. Louis.
Sold out in 2 hours.
Right, to watch an exhibition match.
Yeah.
It didn't even mean anything. So, hey, and with MLS, they need a stadium. They need an owner. They don't have those yet, but it'd be the easiest sell in town.
Once he wins the lottery, Tim Mize will put a stadium in.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
And St. Louis.
That's the list.
St. Louis, to me, would be an ideal fit for it because St. Louis has always been a soccer background,
yep.
You know.
Yeah, the youth, I mean, just the youth participation there alone. I mean, just bringing the club to me. We've done that before. We've taken the team up to Fire Games in Chicago. The ticket sales you'd have alone just with the local clubs, you'd have no problems.
Yeah. But you go back in history in St. Louis, the Keogh family and a lot of those people, soccer was great, and they've just never pursued to follow through with it for some reason. I don't know.
One thing people don't...
Baseball.
One thing people don't think about, Travis, is the amount of time you put in and your coaches put in. And I know Daniel, he drives... How long does it take him to get to a practice,
yeah.
Daniel Hirschelman?
Our keeper trainer, Daniel Hirschelman, which to be a club as small as we are and have a dedicated goalie coach.
And I tell you right now, Hirsch was a heck of a goalkeeper.
Yeah, and he played in college, and he coached at the college level when he was done in college. So for us to get someone of that caliber to train our keepers, and he drives, like I said, he drives about 2 hours. He lives on the other side of St. Louis, so he drives about 2 hours twice a week to each of our practices to work with our keepers.
Yeah.
So and then we also have Tim Gould. He's the coach over at Collinville High School.
Great
for the
job.
Boys and girls. And he's, one, in my opinion, one of the top high school coaches, not just in our area, but in Central Illinois in general. And we brought him on the U14 level. And so not only is he coaching his high school girls team, then once that's over with, he runs a U14 boys practice too. So I think they all volunteer. I can't. I mean, it means a lot to me. So
dedication. Back to dedication.
Yeah. Yep.
And soccer is a sport where not everybody can throw a pitch 85, 90 miles an hour or can maybe hit a 21-foot jump shot. But in soccer, you can do a lot of different things. And with 11 people spread over the field, you got to have some defenders, and you got to have people that aren't afraid to bang bodies.
We talk a lot about, especially with – we play a style. We're never going in our area. You look at
you're never going to outflash him.
No, and you look at we look at Lincoln basketball over the years. We're never going to have the 6'7" center.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in soccer, we're never going to have really those big bodies, those 6'3" kids who can run 4.4 40s. So we play, we try to play a different style. We keep the ball on the ground, and we always come back to the Spain, their national team, and Barcelona. They won the World Cup, and they've won the Champions League with players no bigger than me. The best player in the world is 5'4". So you don't need to have the 6'3", 200-pound super athletes. It's all about – it's a lot more about technical skill, the ball at your foot, and making quick decisions.
Now that it's been around for 3 years, is this as successful as you thought it might have been?
Much, much more successful than I thought it was going to be. To be perfectly honest with you. And I have to give a ton of credit to the parents that we have.
Yeah.
It takes, especially at that U14 level, it takes the mom and dad to get them to practice. We have parents who maybe work in Springfield, drive home to Raymond, pick up their kid, get them over to Carlinville to where our U14s train by 5:30. That takes dedication on their end too. So and giving us the coaches the freedom to coach the kids and
as you pointed out earlier, Travis, you had from your ball club 7 who are going to college. This is just another avenue for young people to take advantage of scholarships through soccer, something that traditionally hasn't been a strong point around here.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's difficult in the fall when the boys are playing with their high school team. That's when college soccer is going on too. So it's very difficult for college coaches, and they'll tell you that, to get out and watch a high school soccer game because they might have one too, or they have practice, or it's just difficult to drive 2 hours on a Wednesday night. So in the spring, those coaches can come watch a club tournament that we're playing in and watch 30 kids between the two teams that all could potentially play for them. So that's where they like to come.
What's a typical schedule like on a weekend for a tournament?
For tournament play, we usually play 2 games on a Saturday, a morning and an afternoon game, and 1 game on a Sunday morning. And then depending how you do in your pool play,
right,
then you'll get matched up to play. They might take the two top teams and play in a championship game, and then take the next two and play in a third and fourth place game, and everybody else goes home. So it is a lot of soccer in one weekend, typically. So
a lot of high-end soccer.
Oh, it is.
You know, your butt could be dragging by the time you play that third or fourth game.
And we went into the recent tournament we just played in Indianapolis and finished first in. We had some injuries, and so we took 11 players, and they played four games of 70 minutes each soccer over 2 days, and they were, you know, it's that final, the third game they were dragging, that fourth game it's the championship game, and you couldn't tell, it looked like the first game of the week.
Yeah.
The adrenaline was going, and that kind of carried them.
That's the thing about soccer to me is the level of shape that you have to be in. I mean, limited number of substitutions, and just it's amazing to me the shape these guys are in.
Well, and other sports, football, basketball, or baseball, all the timeouts you have.
Right.
Soccer, you get your fanny out there and you run and you run and you run.
And one of my favorite stories when I was refereeing soccer and doing some youth leagues and about 2 or 3 minutes into a ball game, a coach was asking for a timeout. I'm going, "Coach, I hate to tell you this, buddy, but your timeout's coming up in about 28 minutes."
Yeah.
I guess that's maybe why the quote-unquote flopping is such a strategic part of soccer. So sometimes you just got to give your guys a blow, just need a break. Yeah.
There is something to be said about that.
There are ways.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned having 7 or 8 individuals going on to play college soccer. We're fortunate in that area because we have some good college soccer programs in the area. They don't have to travel halfway across the world to play soccer.
No, that's exactly right. We have kids going to Milliken, just down the road, and Greenville. We have two going to Greenville College, and Greenville College they play in the NCAA tournament every year for Division III soccer. They're a very, very good team. So,
Travis, who else helps you out as far as your coaches?
Sure. We talked about Dan Herschelman, and then Tim Gould from Carlinville. We also brought on a gentleman by the name of Rob Steinkuhler this year, who is the assistant coach at Blackburn for the men's and women's. And he's originally from Jerseyville and played at Blackburn along with Tim. They were college teammates. And then we also brought in Brock Eddings this year, from a former Lincolnwood player, former Blackburn player, just graduated from Blackburn. And
the heart of a lion.
An outstanding defender. And kind of, you know, he was the type of kid that he never played for us because we started after him. But he kind of personified that first couple of years that we had. This year, you know, I'll be honest with you, this year we were a very skilled team. And that's not, you know, but the first couple of years we were all heart and hustle, you know.
And Brock was that perfect kind of guy.
Yeah. He is.
Those Eddings kids were just awesome.
And it was great to bring him back on because as our players got better, as better soccer players, I won't say they lost some of that physical edge, but Brock was always there to remind them, not only in practice, playing with them and everything, that, hey, this is the type of team we are.
So. Brock's not a very big guy.
No.
And it doesn't make any difference how big you are. You're probably going to end up on your butt.
Yeah. Yeah. But he just did a great job, his first coaching gig ever. And he wants to get into it, and so we brought him on, and he did a great job.
Travis, if folks are interested in trying to get into the club soccer with FC South Central, you've got a website.
We do. We do have a website. If you just type in FC South Central in Google, it'll be one of your first results. We have a website, and we also have a Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, you can like our page, and we're always updating constantly with how the teams are doing, not only that, but tryouts and any camps we're having. And our email address is on there, and you just feel free to shoot us an email if you have a question.
And when you have fun, like Travis does, good things happen.
Yeah,
and good things have happened.
We try to talk with the younger kids. I had a coach a long time ago tell me that your number one job before they get into high school is to make sure they all come back the next year.
Right. So it's constant selling.
That's resonated with me. So that's what we try
sell,
to do.
Resell, resell. That's how soccer will survive.
Yep.
Travis, thank you, sir. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Yep, thank you, guys. I appreciate having me on.
Travis Matthews, who is the head coach of the FC South Central Club team
for
U18 boys. And again, as he mentioned, they've expanded into other age groups. And I tell you, when Travis first came and was looking for a place to hold practices, and I said, "Well, we've got a nice field out there at Raymond, and you use that all you want." And boy, it's and in the fall when you go and watch our local high school teams, you can see the kids who have participated in club soccer. They're just a little bit, you know, a step quicker, a little bit more physical. So.
Well, and you heard Travis say it himself that even he's surprised by the level of success they've had so early. I mean, winning these types of tournaments, you hope to just compete in the first few years. They're winning.
Well, you know, you go in there with anywhere from 11 to 13 kids, and you're taking on club soccer teams. What most people don't realize, a lot of these club soccer teams have 25 kids on their roster, and these are from cities that have a lot of a lot of kids to draw from. So when you can go in there with 11 to 13 kids and win a tournament like you did in Indianapolis, that's pretty impressive. This is Sports Saturday. We're coming to you from Irish Days, the Chili Dome at the Irish Day celebration in Farmersville. We need a quick break. We'll come back with more in just a moment.
Are you tired all the time or awake frequently at night? Does your bed partner say you snore? 1 in 15 Americans suffer from sleep apnea. You might be a candidate for a sleep study. Don't want to stay the night in the hospital? We have just the thing for you, a sleep study in the comfort of your own home. To see if you qualify, call me, Amanda Payne, respiratory therapist, at 217-532-4175. Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal intention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsborough, you do have a choice.
And at 9:54, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for some showers. Expect a high of around 85 degrees. Cloudy skies for tonight with a 60% chance of rain. We'll have a low of around 70. And then for tomorrow, showers likely. Expect a high Sunday of around 80 degrees. At 9:55, we have a temperature reading of 55 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 30 seconds.
Are you spring cleaning? Ever wonder how to tackle the stacks of statements and bills? Sign up for Security National Bank's online and e-statements and view them in your internet banking or download them from our secure site. You can then tackle that stack of bills by using our bill pay, which is free when you sign up for e-statements. Call your local branch to find out more information or sign up today. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:55, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Terry Tote, Tim Mize, and Uncle Ralph.
Thanks so much, Tobe and I. We're broadcasting live and direct from the Chili Dome in Farmersville, the one and only Chili Dome ever known to exist. You have multiple pyramids, but there's only one Chili Dome. That's like, how important it is.
It's like a melting pot over there.
Well, there are some characters I see out there.
And people who probably shouldn't be allowed to have sharp objects
well,
and burners.
I wasn't going to say that, but, you know, the thought did cross my mind.
And the amazing thing about this tent, Terry, is it's a chili dome now, and then along about 9, 10 o'clock, it'll be some other kind of a dome.
Yes.
We'll have a band in there, and this place will be rocking.
This place will be packed from one side to the other, and the park will be packed. And you know, we had a little rain this morning, and we hope that that's all it's going to be here today, because there are other activities getting underway. You've got the antique tractor show at 11, the pedal tractor pull for the adults, the adult pedal tractor pull.
That sounds interesting.
I don't know. My butt's too big to even get on a little seat there to pedal.
I'd like to see you sitting on a pedal tractor. I'd give a $5 bill to see that.
Yeah, you'd probably have to visit me in the hospital the next day. And, of course, they've got rides and the big Irish Days parade coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And later on in the park, they've got the queens and all that coming up tonight. So it's a neat thing here. We still have a few minutes that we can talk about sports. Very quickly, the Cardinals ran into a buzzsaw last night with this young man from Cuba who now pitches for the Miami Marlins. He's the real deal, I think.
Youngest pitcher in the major leagues right now, and I watched quite a bit of that game, and he had the Cardinal hitters way out of
and a game there. Like last night in a series at this weekend for the Cardinals, it really is the beauty of baseball, where the Cardinals have the best record in the league, the Marlins have the worst record in the league, but in the game of baseball, it doesn't matter. Like in the NFL, if the worst team in the league beats the best team, that's a big deal. Or in basketball, it's a big deal. But in baseball, when you play 162, you're gonna, you know, the best team's going to lose to the worst team at some point. It's going to happen.
And Miami is a franchise that had some excellent ball players, and due to as I always say, M-O-N-E-Y, they had to liquidate some players, but they're coming back with some young players.
And I think it's called a
lunatic. They'll trade them soon.
I think it's called being a lunatic owner is what it
well,
is.
Well, I was trying to be polite.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a first.
With what Bud Selig has done in Major League Baseball with the ownership and how baseball has really solidified itself, it's amazing this guy's even an owner, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The way he just sells off talent.
And, you know, and we see, we all realize that baseball has been watered down over the years with franchises like Miami and some of these. But there's also some positive things, and we look to the west of our viewing area, and it's great to see Kansas City, on the upswing. Got a lot of young ball players playing well. I know we're in Cardinal territory, but hey, Kansas City's been down for a long time.
Kansas City's been on the upswing since 1986. They've always got a great young guy coming. All these great prospects. They're all bums.
They're just Miami to the west. That's what it is.
I mean, well, they've been in that position where they get players and they have to sell them, and that's an unfortunate position to be in.
We're out of time for hour number one of Sports Saturday. We're going to continue with more broadcasts from Irish Days in Farmersville coming up after the 10 o'clock NBC News. We're going to be talking about the Opera House here in town, which is a grand old building, and it's going to get saved. It's going to get redone, and people are going to love this thing once it's been taken care of. But we're going to talk about that coming up after the break here on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. If you're tuning away, for Uncle Ralph, for Tim Mize, I'm Terry Tote. We'd like you to stick around. NBC News is up next here on FM 106.
And at 10:05, let's head back out to Farmersville once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobin Ott, as we are in extra time, as they call it in soccer.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, you were talking about how the parents are so important for soccer. It's not, they don't call them basketball moms.
No.
Or baseball moms.
Soccer moms.
Soccer moms.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's when they're looking for voters and groups of voters.
That's right.
They're looking for soccer moms.
Soccer moms.
That's right.
But don't sell basketball moms and football moms or anybody else short.
Oh, no.
They're there. They're just not, you just don't hear as much about it.
They just don't have the term.
That's right.
It takes all of that to make the program function.
We are broadcasting from the Chili Dome. The one, the only Chili Dome known to mankind here at Irish Days in Farmersville.
The smells are starting to work their way up here.
Yes. Sandy Lighthizer, county clerk, is here, so we know it's an official celebration because the politicians are here.
Oh, that's.
I'll bet she's the judge. I'll bet she's going to judge this thing.
Oh, I bet she is, too. I bet she is, too. And the activities continue all day long. Coming up at about 11 o'clock this morning, they've got the Antique Tractor Show, the Adult Pedal Tractor Pull at 11:30, parade at 4 o'clock this afternoon. If you've never been to the parade, you need to come and see the parade.
And believe it or not, Tim, I just seen a tractor go by there. It's older than I am.
Whoa!
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that's usually one of the neater aspects of these festivals are like the Antique Tractor Expos. Oh, those old tractors are something to see.
Yes, they are.
Hey, now we get to talk family here. My sister-in-law, Teresa Tote. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, it's great to have you here. I wanted you to come and visit with us because you're involved in a project in trying to save the Opera House here in town.
That's right.
The neat thing about these little towns is that we all have old buildings, and there's usually a building or two that has special memories associated with the town, and the Opera House is one of them here in Farmersville.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about some of the fundraising efforts you've had in trying to preserve the Opera House.
Well, first of all, let me tell you about a little committee that started in October of 2011.
Okay.
Just three gals, myself, Mary Jane Schmidt, and Rose Cawthorn here from Farmersville. And we all have a big love for this little community. So we decided we wanted to revitalize the community. So we call ourselves the Farmersville Revitalization Committee. And we started off with very small expectations, and they have grown to the renovation of the Opera House. Our fundraisers have consisted of bake sales. We recently had a dueling pianos concert, which was awesome. I think you advertised for us on this radio station. That was great. We have recently written for a grant through the Preservation Heritage Grant Fund in Montgomery County. So we're hoping to get that. Other than that, it's been private donations. We've raised a lot of money through private donations, people that are interested in saving the Opera House.
That's such a neat thing, because a lot of people, especially the senior citizens, have memories tied to the Opera House.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do.
And more than one's probably come up to you and told you a story about it.
Oh, lots. Yeah, the big thing is the bands that used to come and play. The stage is still there on the south side of the building. The stage is there, and if you go to the back of the stage, there's names inscribed. People that played there have inscribed their names, so that's all still visible. It's in bad shape, but not as bad as you'd think. So, yeah, lots and lots of memories.
So will this be more of a renovation, more so than a restoration because of the current condition?
Well, probably a little of both.
A little of both.
It's had a lot of water damage over the years. But recently, the Village of Farmersville is really on board with this, and they've replaced the roof. They have done brickwork to stop some of that damage. Our next project, which we're hoping to get funds through the grant for, are to replace the windows, because we're still seeing a lot of water damage there. But it's on its way. It's better than it was a few months ago.
So, Teresa, when this gets finished, mm-hmm. what do you hope to do with the Opera House? I would bet it would be a good spot to have wedding receptions and
Absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Absolutely. The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Wedding receptions, showers, family get-togethers, things like that. And then also in the bottom, you know, that's the top story. Mm-hmm. This is two levels. We hope a couple of businesses. There's plenty of room for businesses, so we want to generate some of that in Farmersville as well.
I would have to ask you what, as an individual, what made you want to undertake this project?
Oh, gosh. Well,
she had so much time on her hands, that's why.
Yeah. Well, you know, usually when you get involved in something like this, you have a reason why you wanted to see this project undertook.
Well, I do have a reason. I've lived in this community all my life, growing up here. I love this community. I feel like I've gotten a lot. I've received a lot from this community. And now that, I'm still busy, Terry, but less busy because my kids are growing. And this was on my bucket list. I wanted to give back to the community. So that's my motivation for seeing Farmersville revitalized.
We won't get into what's on Uncle Ralph's bucket list.
So you got, my bucket runneth over. So you got some people that said, hey, I think that's a good idea to go along with you. And there
yes,
you go.
Yes, absolutely. And just one more thing. We have done a lot of private donations. And if an individual or group, whoever, families want to give $500 or more, their name will be inscribed on a plaque which will be permanently placed in the Opera House once that renovation is completed. And we have several people that have given that.
Do you have a timetable?
No.
Yeah, that's
good. We're working. It's not going as quickly as we'd like, but that's okay.
As long as it's going.
And these types of projects, a lot of times, you get the idea, you get some general parameters, but then you start asking questions about other facilities like this.
Right.
And say, okay, if it worked here, would it work here? And perhaps
exactly.
it would, perhaps it wouldn't. So, you kind of let it evolve.
Into another idea.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I think is really neat about getting this going is it's a seed. It's a seed that's planted, and it says, "Hey, we're alive and well."
Yeah, absolutely.
And which is, you know, our little towns all struggle, and just to say, "Hey, these folks think it's worthwhile to come in here and maybe open a business in the bottom of this thing, mm-hmm. and we have wedding receptions in the top." It just tells everybody, "Hey, we're open for business."
That's right.
So. Well, and you have a lot of incentive here. All you have to do. Just look down the road at your neighboring town, Wagner, and what they did with the old gym there and with the Wagner players
Absolutely.
And all the stuff they have there. That's
amazing.
Yes, it is. And they took something that was just a building setting there and made something out of it. The community did, and the Wagner players come along. And perhaps someday you can have the same thing here.
I hope so.
Teresa, are you still looking for members? For your organization to join and be a part of this on a regular basis?
We always encourage help from the community, yes.
Yeah. Just get a hold of you or Rosie or...
Yes, okay. yes, absolutely. Okay. Either one of us.
So one of these days when you get this thing all finished, you're going to have to allow us to do Sports Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. Okay? Oh, I can't wait. Okay. You'll be the first I'll call.
Okay, well, that's great. That's
I'm only going to be doing this another 20 years, and I'm going to quit.
Okay, well, then we have that time limit.
Yeah, you got that time.
So you got a 20-year time limit so we can get Uncle Ralph.
But then I'll be getting old, and I'll have to slow down a little.
Teresa, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Terry.
Always a pleasure. Teresa Tote, my lovely sister-in-law. And all the Tote girls are good-looking. I'll just tell you that. Even though it's a radio, you can't tell. I'll just tell you right now. And if you need any more information, just give Teresa a call if you want to help out with the revitalization of Farmersville. So, okay, thanks, Teresa.
Thank you, Terry.
Tell you what, we need to get to a break. Sports Saturday rolls on from Irish Days in Farmersville right after these messages.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
It's 10:14, 77 degrees outside. Let's head back to Farmersville once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Again, we'll come to the Opera House.
See you guys. Guys, I got to do this
without
a microphone. So,
and we're back.
How about that?
That was quick. Wow, okay. Well, we want to thank Teresa and all of our other guests today, Josh Stone, the athletic director and baseball coach at Lincolnwood, Matt Milburn, the basketball coach, Travis Matthews, who's joined us here, coach of the FC South Central team. It's good to talk to these folks. And, you know, that's the neat thing about our listening area. We have such small communities and everybody's involved. And it, you know, we kind of have to stick together. If we don't stick together, these little communities don't survive. So,
no, I was just going to mention this. This is great that these ladies have undertaken a monumental task to restore the Opera House. But it, when you look, as I mentioned, at the Wagner Gym down here and what they've done with that, with the Wagner players and stuff, and it's all over. Hillsborough has the Hartke House, which was a shack, and the people went in and done a lot of work on it, and it's great to see these projects.
And that's why we've talked about it over the last couple of weeks, but that's why it's great to see and hear that the Pitt in Gillespie is going to survive, because that falls into the same category as what you're talking about.
I thought maybe it might get the headache ball after this last set, because you go drive by there and your first look at it, it looks pretty sad.
Yeah, I tell you what, it looks a lot better now. They've got the bricks out, they've got the plywood up, so it's no longer exposed, so they've got it covered up, and I guess they have begun the rebuild, so that's going to be fun. I think the county is at the Pitt.
I think the county basketball tournament is going to Gillespie this year, and I bet they hold it there. So
I would think so. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be.
I would imagine that's a priority, that they get that thing repaired. And the way they can do stuff anymore, a couple weeks' time, and they can do wonders.
Well, not only was, of course, the gymnasium damaged, but they lost the concession stand at the football field, which seems to be kind of a frequent thing.
I want to move that thing.
Yeah, time to anchor it down, you know, and put the 6 foot in, 6 foot walls in it or something. But they also lost some classrooms. The ComTech class, I believe, was a classroom that was destroyed. Some of the music area, so
weight room.
So, you know, they've got some work to do. But as far as athletic facilities, the Pitt has such a wonderful set of memories. Good and bad, perhaps, depending on whether you played there on your home games or visitors.
When it's been around as long as it has, somebody's got a bad memory there.
Yeah.
You know, and Tim, how times change. You speak of the weight room. When I was in school, the weight room was going out and helping some farmer put up 1,000 bales some afternoon. That was a weight room.
That was a weight room. Now we got square bales don't even exist anymore, hardly.
No.
Just the round bales. Well, I was thinking about that this week. Farming, you know, sitting in the air-conditioned tractor with my air seat and the radio on, you know.
Yeah,
they used to do this with horses.
Yeah. And you know, and that's the difference of basketball, Ralph. And one sport that I noticed is that, you know, back in when I was in high school, a lot of the athletes, the stronger athletes, and even before, were the farm kids, because they did buck bales. And that's where their strength came from.
Country strong.
Oh, yeah, they were big, strong, strapping guys.
Coach always said the football team said, farm kids come in here ready to play, you know, because you've been working all summer. And speaking of how things are sitting in your air-conditioned cab.
Oh, yeah.
When I went to St. Louis yesterday to Washington University, coming home, down in the Livingston area, you won't see this very often. A farmer was out there with a tractor without a cab on it, planting whatever, probably beans with a four-row planter.
You do not see that much anymore.
You don't see that very often.
Are you sure you weren't hallucinating?
No,
bro?
No.
Wow. That's something from a gone bygone era. Yeah.
There were a couple days this week where cat without a tractor would have been no fun.
Oh, that 95-degree day? Ooh. Oh, that would have been brutal, wouldn't it?
Today it's nice.
Oh, today.
You know, hopefully this is kind of a precursor. You know, the Montgomery County Fair coming up, to the Macoupin County Fair. Maybe this means that we're going to get some moderate weather.
No.
It doesn't have to be cool. Moderate. We'll take moderate.
Moderate. 85.
85. 90.
Wrong with
85, 90.
You know, 90.
Well,
you know,
85, 90.
90 is not bad if you don't have that high humidity and hot winds. You know, we can tolerate 90 degrees. But, buddy, when you add another 5 or 10 degrees on that, then usually, Tim, as you said, the county fairs, Montgomery and Macoupin County Fair, it's usually pretty warm, but the long-range forecast doesn't look like it's going to be over in the mid-80s.
And this year, of course, the Montgomery County Fair next week followed immediately by the Macoupin County Fair a whole month earlier. So.
And that's going to make a big difference for the folks in Macoupin County, because I was out there the last several years. It was brutal. You know, they've got the senior events that they have, like in the Frankie Pavilion. It's 100 degrees out there. Nobody wants to be outside when it's 100 degrees. Yeah. Let's just be honest. So hopefully having it basically a full month earlier will make a difference. And that was not the reason they did it.
Sure,
I think it was had to do with the carnival and getting better rides out there. But still, nonetheless, it'll be a nice secondary prize.
I think so. We're broadcasting from Irish Days in Farmersville. And we want to thank all of our Irish Days sponsors, the Irish Days Committee and the KCs here in Farmersville, who do so much to help out this community. The Silver Dollar in Farmersville, where the party lasts till 2 a.m. Rovi Farm and Sales in Farmersville. I bet they go beyond 2 a.m.
They just close the doors at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Consolidated Grain and Barge in Farmersville, FNB in Morrisonville, Raymond, Gerard, Burden, and Pawnee by Gerlach Ag and Wagner. Caddy Shack in Farmersville with the best pork teas and wings from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Farmers Pellet Company in Farmersville, Rovi Seed in Farmersville, the Farmersville Shell, and of course Bank and Trust Company in Farmersville, Litchfield, Carlindle, Radom, Raymond, Chatham, and Rochester. Without those folks, this broadcast would not be possible. They're just about ready. They're now officially starting the chili cook-off here at the Chili Dome. And again, the money, they have an entry fee, and they give back some money. But all the extra money they raise goes to the special ed program at Panhandle. So it's quite a nice thing, and you know, kudos to our friends here at Farmersville, the Irish Days Committee, and the KCs for putting this on.
You know, the one thing they're missing is a formal start like you have at NASCAR, you know, like, where's the ladies and gentlemen start your propane grills?
Yeah.
Well, they used to.
Sean's a little more relaxed. Sean Webb's a little more relaxed.
They used to shoot a gun off to start it, but then they found that put a hole in the chili dome. So
yeah,
they
we don't want that.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Especially later on tonight, if you get a little rain, you know, you can come in here and stay dry and have a good time. So.
Yeah, well, it weakens your, if it leak, roof leaks, it weakens your sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
I think that's what they drink in here.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Lots of it.
Well, I don't know, Ralph.
Orange Crush, maybe.
Sarsaparilla that starts with a B-U-D? I don't think so. But anyway.
It doesn't matter how you spell it.
That's right. By the way, if you haven't come to Farmersville, come on up to Irish Days and enjoy yourself. They do have the parade at 4 this afternoon. Then a little bit after 6 o'clock, the activities underneath the pavilion with the crowning of the queen and all that sort of stuff. So let's talk a little bit of sports in the sports world. And one thing in particular I wanted to touch on was this Major League Baseball investigation, which is continuing now into the performance-enhancing drugs. And, you know, a lot of people maybe complain that, and I have complained in the past, that maybe this is something that should have been handled by Major League Baseball on its own. But I think if, now that I review the situation, if baseball is really going to clear itself and clear its name, something like this is going to have to happen.
Well, and this is just kind of the ongoing saga now of baseball. And Terry, what you're saying is exactly right. If they would have nipped it in the bud back in the 80s, then they could have taken care of it themselves. But it's so widespread now, and it's got so many different tentacles to it that they really do need some assistance to help get it all contained and cleaned up. And I think it's going to be a deal where it's going to be ugly and it's going to be nasty for maybe a year or two, but then hopefully they can get it fully behind them, because they do now have the blood testing right for the HGH. They've got the testing in place. Now, keep this in mind. Kids who are getting drafted, minor league players, these kids have been tested in high school.
Right.
Yeah. Summer league. So getting drug tested is a normal thing to them, you know, to whereas the ball players, when they started to implement it, this was like, whoa, you're going to do what to me? I don't think so. But kids coming up now aren't going to have such a problem with it, such a stigma to it. So I think that'll help the situation maybe eventually clean itself up.
And really, for this to happen, the players' union has to buy into it. And as you mentioned, Tim, since it's going to be a commonplace thing, I don't think that's going to be much of a problem.
And I've noticed since Donald Fear, I think that was his name, left as the head, the union seems to be a lot more receptive to actually assisting in this investigation.
Yeah. Well, don't you think that there are so many ball players right now who are not on performance-enhancing drugs that are saying, hey, you know, this is not fair?
No, I'm sure there are. And you mentioned a while ago the way sports, any sports, have changed. But baseball this past week had their draft, and it was amazing how many teams drafted young men right out of high school. So, Tim, as you said, these kids have been in high school. They've been through this testing, so it should be no shock to them. But, gentlemen, they've got to get serious about this. They've got to clean this drug problem up, because it can't these guys making millions and millions of dollars and pumping steroids or whatever in their system, this has to stop.
But here's the problem, though, and I totally agree with you, but there's always going to be people push the envelope.
Absolutely.
You know, you're never going to get completely rid of performance-enhancing drugs, so there's always going to be an element there. But I think the key now is, like, with the players' union, they used to, back in the 90s, they protected the minority of people who were breaking the rules. They protected them, whereas now it seems like the majority of players who are clean are starting to get their voice heard. And as you know, perception is reality. So if the perception is that the players' union is really trying to fight this head-on, eventually that's going to have a trickle-down effect.
One of the oldest professions in professional sports that's fought drugs is horse racing. They've fought the drugging of horses for forever.
I have this view on many different aspects of society, but we'll just keep it to sports sheets right now. They should be shouted down and called out. So many times they get protected from their union or whatever it is. These people should just be called out. They should be ostracized. Get them out. You're done. Like, you know, if Pete Rose can get completely ostracized and banned for betting, why not do the same to these baseball players who you know have taken steroids?
Well, which is worse.
Get them out.
Which is worse, steroids or betting?
Exactly.
You know, to me, they're on the same level.
Right. It's like, you know, God bless Mark McGwire. I enjoyed his home run chase and all that. He's an admitted steroid user. Get him out. He shouldn't be a coach on a major league team.
No.
Get him out. You're out of the game. You made your choice. You're done.
He should have disappeared like Sammy Sosa did.
Yep, go away.
Well, and you know, again, I think we have to come back to the commissioner of baseball, who I have maligned many times on this program, but I think Bud Selig has brought some sense of calm to this situation and say, look, you know, in order for baseball to survive and become even more popular than it is, we're going to have to take care of this. And I think Bud Selig's opinion is, look, it's time for baseball to lead the way for all professional sports.
True. But here's my problem that I have with Bud Selig. He's got no credibility on the issue.
Well,
because he was in charge.
Yes.
You know, he's the one who left the barn door open and all the horses ran out. Now he's the one closing it as well. Kudos to him for fixing the problem now. But as we all know,
he was there at the beginning.
And he allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, McGwire and Sosa in 98, they saved the game. That's just a fact.
Right.
After the strike, you know, he saw the money coming in, saw the writing on the wall, so he used it to his benefit. And then when it went bad, he tried to get out in front of it.
Yes, Tim. Goes back to the old word, M-O-N-E-Y.
Hey, it's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, that investigation will continue, and they'll cuss and discuss and hopefully figure out. And to me, if these guys are guilty, then you're going to have to, you know, get in there and call these guys out and say, okay, you've done this. We know you've done this. There's big time punishment.
Well,
coming.
There's big time names too, with Alex Rodriguez and Ryan Braun. You know,
so,
if these guys get, oh, I'm saying though, if these guys get found to be guilty, you always have it. All unfortunately, it always takes someone famous and big to get
caught.
That's true.
And Rodriguez is over the hill. Braun career in front of him.
Right.
Who's this young lady?
This young lady right here, Alicia Grossenheider. Hi, Alicia.
Hi. Hi, guys.
How you doing, sweetheart?
We just had a awesome morning.
How many?
Probably about 475.
Just 475.
Good. Yeah. Just.
Wow.
It's in downtown awesome. Farmersville.
Downtown Farmersville.
And a great morning to run.
Yes. That's good. Like the, you know, 65,000 that are in St. Louis this morning.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, it's the same census.
And you're right. And this is all for breast cancer awareness.
And all of this stays in Montgomery County, right here.
Which is the biggest thing that Montgomery County has going for it to help, on the cancer front. The Montgomery County
Cancer
Association.
It all stays right here.
Breast Cancer Awareness Group.
Yes. Right here sits a young lady that's been responsible for a bunch of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you wonder why when you're diagnosed. Right here tells you why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it. I would have helped these people, but not like we are now.
Right.
So there's a reason. There's a reason for everything.
Yep.
475, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
You know, my goal is 600 people.
Yes, yes.
You know.
Yes.
Maybe next year.
Getting closer.
Yep. I told them all to bring all of their friends next year.
You got to put that into perspective. Now, if you told us to bring all our friends, we might get you three more people.
maybe, if you're lucky. Maybe two.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want them anywhere around.
That's right.
Does have tote boys. There is a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they multiply.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
they multiply.
Them and rabbits.
But they're not the right kind of people to have around sometimes.
Well, without your brother, Gary, he marks the trail for us,
gets
it down to a science,
mm-hmm.
and I am telling you what, he is an awesome man.
See, he does a nice job. He serves the city of the village of Farmersville as one of the trustees.
Yes.
And he does a nice job.
Does an awesome job.
Yeah. So
I don't know how something nice came out of you guys.
Pretty scary.
There is Larry.
Well, then there is Larry.
It's just like today, somewhere out here, there will be a good bowl of chili come out.
Well, there's going to be probably about 20 bowls of good chili come out of here.
But Alicia, unfortunately, you know way too much about us.
Oh, way too much.
Yeah, when you get ready to write your book, make sure
Gary,
we're all dead.
Gary, Larry, Terry, and Sherry.
Just make sure we're all dead and gone when you write your book about us, okay?
I was a wee little girl.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't make this stuff up. It's got to be real.
It's real. It happened.
Yeah.
Well, nice job.
Thank you.
What's up next?
Next is the Becky Matley fundraiser.
Okay.
In July. Okay. And I think, don't quote me on this, I think second weekend in July.
Right. Okay.
And then the Rockin' Out for Breast Cancer in August 24th. Yes. And that is probably the most inspirational events that I have been involved in, and it was its first year last year, and it brought $13,000 to us.
Wow.
And we were able to raise the amount that we give someone from 300 to 400. So,
and don't forget the last of this month, the MCCA annual
birthday party.
And I will be one of the co-MCs of that.
Yeah. So. We had the other MC in the meeting.
Yeah, you had him. I knew he was going to be there, so I didn't
come. Tobinock.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's producing.
We already browbeat him just a little.
Yeah.
Bit.
Okay. Yeah. I told him, remember, he's second in command.
Oh.
And there's only two of us.
That was a blow to his ego.
There's only two of us. So. No, I'd been in St. Louis all day that day, so I didn't make it. But looking forward to it.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much,
always
guys.
A pleasure,
appreciate
Alicia.
It. Appreciate it.
See you.
Look forward to seeing you on June 29th.
Be there.
Who's that good-looking gal right behind you there? That must be your daughter. Are you sisters?
We are.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Team Tootsie for this week.
Team Tootsie. Thanks, Lish. See you, Shayla. There you go. Good news from the run this morning. 475 people running to
awesome.
Bring awareness
That's
to breast
great.
Cancer.
In a town the size of Farmersville, that is something.
That's true.
That is something.
We're broadcasting from Irish Days in Farmersville. Anything else, guys, we need to touch on here this morning concerning the world of sports that maybe you'd like to talk about?
We've pretty well covered it, I think.
Don't think Tiger's going to win the U.S. Open.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
You know, the U.S. Open, man, they the rain problems. Have you seen pictures of the course?
Not many.
Man, it's ugly.
They've got what we had the last...
Tiger always seems to find that rock on the course and stubs his toe. I don't know. He's
but you know,
right there.
But here's what Tiger Woods has done. Okay, when he first got into golf, he was here, you know, I'm holding my hand like 2 feet in the air, and everybody else was down here 2 feet below him.
Oh, that's right.
And now everybody else that was down below him has come up a lot closer to Tiger. So it just seems like maybe Tiger hasn't gotten any better. If that's not really the case, I think the whole of golf has gotten better because of Tiger.
After that, the year 2000, he forced everyone to get better, or he was just going to completely embarrass him, opposed to just moderately embarrass him like he has for the last decade.
They took it seriously, didn't they?
And he's made him a lot of money.
Yes,
he's just going to run away and hide, you know, and as you said, once again, competition.
And with that said, I said I don't think he'll win. I wouldn't bet against it.
No,
I wouldn't either, but I just have a gut feeling he's not going to pull it off.
Well, they're starting to set up some PA equipment here. Guys, we're going to have to vacate our premises here. We want to thank all of our friends here at Irish Days in Farmersville for their generosity. We always enjoy coming to the Chili Dome and broadcast. I want to thank all of our guests today. Tobin Ott has done a great job of producing our broadcast today. Tobin, thank you so much. And if you get a chance, please come by and enjoy all the activities at Irish Days. They have the big parade at 4 this afternoon. Lots of entertainment underneath the pavilion later on this evening. And, of course, the beer tent here, which will go from the Chili Dome to the beer tent later on this evening. They'll have a band in here as well.
So. And the weather's perfect.
The weather is perfect. The weather is perfect. So, for Uncle Ralph, for Tim, I'm Terry Toth. Thanks so much. Our special broadcast here from Irish Days have been brought to you in part by the Farmersville Shell, the Bank and Trust Company in Farmersville, Litchfield, Carlinville, Raymond, Chatham, and Rochester, Rovi Seed in Farmersville, Farmers Pellet Company in Farmersville, the Caddy Shack in Farmersville with the best pork teas and wings served from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., Gerlach Ag in Wagner, FNB, Raymond, Morrisonville, Girard, Verdon, and Pawnee, Consolidated Grain and Barge in Farmersville, Rovi Farm and Sales in Farmersville, the Silver Dollar in Farmersville with a party last till 2, and by the Irish Days Committee and the KC's in Farmersville. They invite you to come out and enjoy Irish Days. So that is it for now. Now back to more music on WSMI FM 106.1, the station you can count on.